This morning, as we approach the great celebration of Christmas, we encounter a familiar part of that story where the angel approaches Mary. Luke chapter 1, if you are comfortable standing to receive the gospel, would you stand now? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we are almost there. A week from today, and it will be Christmas Day. Have your preparations for Christmas been just a little bit frantic this year? Have you been working hard at it? Has it been overtaking every moment that you're awake, thinking about what else needs to be done, what else you need to do? Well, in a week, the day will be here, and if you don't take some time in the few days that lie ahead of us, if you don't take some time to relax and sit back and take it all in, enjoy the waiting and the anticipation and the excitement, it'll be too late. Don't let too many days pass. It's your last chance to enjoy the anticipation. Think with me for a moment, though, about the giving that you've planned to do this Christmas. Lots of giving to be done, and it's important. Are all of your gifts prepared and purchased and made and wrapped and placed under the tree? Are some of them still hidden in the trunk of your car, like mine? Don't want to give away any secrets. I have the keys hidden. There are families and friends and husbands and wives and children and neighbors and strangers. There's work and there's church and there's so much, lots of giving to do. And if your house has been like mine in the last couple of weeks, it's been a beehive of activity. Making and buying and wrapping and decorating and cooking and cleaning and preparing. Doing and doing and giving and giving. And we're getting ready. It's going slow, but we'll get there. But are you really ready for what's coming and what's happening? As Christmas comes, we prepare and prepare and prepare, and we're doing and giving. But you know, there are really two sides to Christmas. There's the giving, But there's also the receiving. That's important too. In fact, if you had to choose between giving and receiving, which is primary, which is first, which is most important, what would it be? If you had to choose, what is it that most perfectly captures the reason and the purpose for Christmas and for our celebration? Which is it? Is it the giving or is it the receiving? I want to suggest to you today that the heart of Christmas is the receiving part. We work awfully hard at the giving part, but are you ready to receive? Are you prepared for what's coming? We do all kinds of preparation on the giving side, but do you do any preparations on the receiving side? The biggest part of Christmas is not the giving. The biggest part of Christmas is the receiving. Because we are celebrating, are we not? Celebrating what we have received from God. What we have been given. And we don't prepare for it as we might. I heard a fellow talking the other day about how he loves holiday parties. He likes to give them more than he likes to go to them. He said he's much better at being a host. Being a guest comes harder for him. He can direct and lead and make people feel welcome and manage others quite easily. But it's the receiving and the accepting and the gracious posture of not being in control that he finds more difficult. And that may be an issue for many of us. We can be effective hosts when we're in control, but we haven't learned much about being joyous guests. I read the other day a brief story that a therapist was telling about one of his clients. And he tells this story. He said, a 65-year-old woman came to me. She was depressed and she had every right to be. She had experienced both of her retinas detaching from her eyes and she had been rendered 90% blind. And she was filled with rage at her condition and at the ophthalmologist who had failed to save her from it. And her underlying theme became very clear very quickly. She said, I just hate it. I hate it when they come and take my arm to usher me into a pew at church or to help me down steps. I'm just plain bored being stuck at home so much. Lots of people offer to drive me where I need to go, but I can't ask them to assist me all the time. Well, fortunately for us both, the therapist said, fortunately for us both, she was a religious person. And so I said this to her. It's clear to me that in your life you've managed to become a remarkably independent woman. And it's quite natural for you to take a great deal of pride in your independence. But you know, it's a journey from here to heaven. And I suspect we can only get there if we travel lightly. I'm not sure you're going to make it if you continue to carry around all that pride. I can't fault you for thinking that your blindness is a curse. It's conceivable to me, however, that you might begin to think of it as a blessing, given to you to help you strip away all those layers of pride that you've had in your independence. Considering your health otherwise, you've probably got a lot of years left. It's up to you whether you want to live those years under a curse or under a blessing. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, he is a good man, or she is a good woman, who can receive a gift well. He is a good man who can receive a gift well. A good woman who can receive a gift well. We do really fine at the giving. But do we do a good job? Do we do as well as we need to do at the receiving so that we are open to receiving and accepting all that God offers us, all that those who love us want to give us. A man in Rhode Island found himself one day with 6 kittens to give away. So he did what most of us would do. He put a sign out in his front yard by the gate. Kittens, free to a good home. No takers. A week later, still had 6 kittens. So he made a new sign. Kittens, free, with cash rebate. Bang, they were gone. Just like that. Everybody walked away with a new kitten and with a crisp $1 bill. It's difficult for us to receive something, to accept something absolutely free. Sometimes people got to pay us to take things. But receiving is the most important part of Christmas. It's a celebration, you see, of all that we've been given, without cost, without rebate, all that we've received from God. Years ago, Lloyd C. Douglas, the great author, reflected on that biblical statement, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You remember? The New Testament says it quite explicitly. But Lloyd Douglas pointed out, he said, you have to keep in mind, it's also easier to give than to receive. Anyone who's had the experience of giving and getting, he says, knows that it's much easier for us to be generous than it is for us to be grateful. It's much easier to be generous than it is to be grateful. Consider Mary. In Luke's first chapter, there's that passage which we call the Annunciation. The Annunciation means announcement. The announcement to Mary of what's going to happen. And the announcement that is that Mary is going to bear a son. And you know, it's rather comical the way the announcement takes place. Because the angel Gabriel, now you know angel Gabriel's no slouch. He's pretty high up there. But it's Gabriel himself who comes to Mary. You are going to bear a child. And he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be called the Son of God. And God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. He will reign forever. And then when Mary hears all that, oh my goodness, overwhelming. And then her response is, well, wait a minute, let's go back to this child part. You know, she missed completely all of the greatness and the power. Let's go back to the beginning. And Mary and Gabriel have this dialogue of sorts where Mary is really struggling to come to terms with what's going on here. And it says in the text, she was concerned with what sort of greeting this angel might have for her. And she's wrestling with it, and she's getting more information. And it says she was greatly troubled at the news. Startled perplexity, you can easily imagine. She had trouble at first receiving this news and hearing about the high honor of her having found favor with God. But the angel continued to dialogue with Mary, and he assured her that all of this that he was describing was in God's hands. And remember, nothing is impossible with God. So Mary received and accepted the gift. Eventually, not immediately, and her words are well known to us. She accepted the gift by saying, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then later on, Mary launches into her great song called the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And it gives you the impression that as Mary lived with this great news that she had received, she became more accustomed to it and more willing to receive it and more willing to recognize God's great gift to her, more willing to live into it. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. Receiving God's gifts, receiving what is given to us, is expansive to our spirits. And the wider we open ourselves up to God's grace, receiving it as quickly as it can be pumped in, the fuller and richer will our lives be, the fuller and richer will Christmas be for us. So God's call for you today is for you to be wide receivers, to open yourselves up to the fullness of life, to the fullness of love and of hope and of peace and of joy, which God holds for us and offers to us if we will but receive God's great good gifts. Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange that when we give, we tend to feel proud and generous. But when we are called upon to receive, we tend to feel embarrassed. Children haven't fallen into that trap yet. One of the reasons I love to be with them. Maybe that's why it's so much fun to watch them on Christmas morning and on birthdays and in other times when they receive a gift. There's no embarrassment. There's only an explosion of joy at receiving a gift. At the end of the first service, I walked back to the door, and there was a little girl sitting in one of the pews, and she usually pays attention to when I come by, but this morning she was looking in a bag of gifts that the people who sit around her every Sunday morning gave her today. It was a coloring book, and there were crayons, and there was a book to read. There were little things in this bag, and she was just filled with delight at having received this unexpected gift. And it was wonderful to watch her explore all of it. You know how it is. Children know no embarrassment, only an explosion of joy as they receive a gift. As Christmas approaches, and as the giving and receiving begin, give generously from your hearts. Don't hold anything back. Give abundantly. Give proudly. But receive good gifts too. Let others express their love for you by giving. Open yourself to receive their gifts and express your joy. Remember Emerson's words, "He is a good man, she is a good woman who can receive a gift well." And remember that all of this is an imitation, a reflection of the giving which God has first done for us. Receive God's gifts openly and joyfully this Christmas. Hope for today, strength for tomorrow, grace sufficient for every need, peace within, and enough to share with the world, love to fill any hour, and joy that makes it all worthwhile. Receive God's good gifts joyfully and openly this Christmas. Amen.